I would like to thank very much the Institute for their kind hospitality and support, and the organizers for inviting me. They suggested that I talk on this topic, which consists of general quantum resurgence means resurgence in arbitrary number of dimensions, in fact. Now, I'm particularly grateful for that because it's a rare opportunity to revive an old conjecture that I made actually 30 years ago and which somehow hasn't caught up. And I'm sorry for that because I really think it's an opportunity for producing new results. On the other hand, the lack of current results about quantum resurgence in several dimensions means that I have the strange task of talking on almost nothing. But I think the good thing is to explain everything that doesn't work when you are in several dimensions. And then perhaps one can appreciate that even the little that can work might be of interest. So I will give you a vague flavor of things. And I very much look forward to your feedback, corrections, and updates if necessary. The subtitle is Resurgent Theta Functions, and theta functions is a shorthand for partition functions of a certain type. So, by the way, correct my email, which is not updated in the list of participants. Okay, so the quantum resurgence is a program in which you take the Schrödinger equation of standard quantum mechanics, and personally I like time-independent problems, so I confine myself to the eigenvalue Schrödinger problem. H-hat is the quantum Hamiltonian, like this, with the potential. I think of it as a confining potential with discrete eigenvalues tending to plus infinity, could be sort of an anharmonic oscillator, say. And in this time, so stationary problem, we focus on spectral functions. Spectral functions are, by definition, symmetric functions of all the eigenvalues. And they depend on 1 over h bar, which is x, and which is the asymptotic large parameter. And quantum resurgence is resurgence with respect to this large parameter x. Now, from the limited knowledge that we have, so the fact is that some spectral functions are known and others are hoped or dreamed to be resurgent in x. And very precisely, that means that such functions f of x have expansion, some exponential behavior times an asymptotic expansion in in descending powers of x, and this could be a sum then, of course, of such expressions. And then the Borel transform, which I mean you all know what it is, here it is convergence near tau zero, and moreover can be endlessly, well, that's a property that we aim at, can be endlessly analytically continued in the tau plane, the Borel plane. Thus, this function will have a Riemann surface S with only isolated singularities, and then one can find some path on that Riemann surface such that by inverse Laplace transform, this is my personal normalization for it, you recover the function that you want. That's the general program of quantum resurgence. Now, the singularities of the Borel transform can, again, in this program, at least be located on the Riemann surface and have their germs expanded. Germ means the local Taylor series at the singularity. And that is thanks to classical principle of propagation of singularities, which actually comes from optics. In wave optics, you learn that singular wavefronts propagate along classical, the laws of geometrical optics. In some cases, the discontinuity functions can be explicitly interrelated, and that is called resurgence equations, or in the ECAL language, bridge equations. Now, those singularities are typically branch cuts. That is, the function, the Borel transform, is very rarely single-valued. So a part of the problem is to describe the global topology of the Riemann surface and where exactly each singularity lies on the Riemann surface. The singularities actually are only isolated on the Riemann surface. If you project them down, you get a mess. Okay, so now the lesson from one dimension, it so happens that in some cases, such as polynomial potentials V of Q and some generalizations thereof, the information that you gain through the resurgence analysis is rich enough. That is, you get sufficiently many resurgence functions in an algebra and sufficiently many resurgence equations and constraints so that by some indirect procedure you can quantum integrate the Schrödinger equation, which is a sort of analytical resolution. So in this case, which also mathematicians would call the Sturm-Liouville problem, which is an ordinary differential equation case, this problem currently can be considered as analytically solved. But, of course, the world is not one-dimensional, so we cannot be satisfied. On the other hand, the very general propagation principles which can be used to start the resurgent analysis of quantum Borel transforms come from very general principles of quantum classical correspondence, which are valid in any dimension. So it's valid to ask how much of the resurgence program can be achieved for an n-dimensional Schrödinger equation, where n is, would say, genuinely greater than 1, which means that this is a partial differential equation, and it is non-separable and even non-integrable. That is, you cannot separate it in a product of, even twisted product of ordinary differential equations. Okay, now, this is a puzzle. And this slide is also a sort of a, more or less, the outline of the talk. The treatment of, in one dimension, I mean, the current treatment, at least the one I know, uses the complex WKB method made exact. And this WKB method is completely inapplicable in high dimension. It's not that we don't know how to do it. We know that it doesn't work. Why? Because in 1D, oh, they stole the chalk. There was chalk here. Sorry. Oh, there it is here. In one dimension, you consider this Riemann surface. I'm just writing on the side. I think it's not necessary. I won't write much. Thank you. So then you write, you consider a cycle on this Riemann surface, and then you write integrals like this. And possibly you replace P by complete formal series in descending powers of X. But so for such integrals to be single-valued, that's okay in one dimension. You can define them on certain cycles. But if you are in higher dimension, this, it becomes a surface, and any integral that you write in that form completely depends on the choice of trajectory. There is no single valued. The only way to make such things single valued is to have sufficiently many constants or integrals of the motion so that you the trajectories can be confined to what is called Lagrangian tori, and then you can define these integrals. I mean, and just speaking of the very basic WKB, not the complex, not the exact one, but the starting point already fails in several dimensions, because it is well known that there exists systems which are far from being classically integrable. The trajectories can be ergodic. That means they will fill the whole surface, this whole surface, and cannot be reduced further. So WKB doesn't work. Okay, there's another, one might dream of another technique in which resurgent analysis is efficient, and that's the integral, the analysis of n-dimensional integrals with saddles, of which Chris Howes is a specialist, so I am speaking under his control, if he's here. Okay, then you the exact saddle point method can, in principle, deliver resurgence. Unfortunately, it's somewhat irrelevant to the Schrödinger equation, because the solution of the Schrödinger equation cannot be described by closed form integrals in general. Okay, unless you accept to write infinite dimensional partial integrals. On the other hand, I mean, this is not something I know terribly well, so I will not cover that topic, but to my understanding, the analysis of multi-dimensional saddle point integrals with saddles cannot always determine the Riemann surface of the result of the Borel transform in complete explicit form. There is no, I don't think there is a completely algorithmic procedure that you could, for instance, feed into a computer and that would unambiguously describe the Riemann surface and all the discontinuities. So that's also a dead end for the time being. Now, there are some things that can be done in higher dimension in terms of analysis of singularity of spectral functions. And one of them is the Poisson formula on manifolds, which I will briefly survey. Unfortunately, that only works for the real domain, and it requires homogeneity conditions on operators which are not verified by the Schrödinger equation. And the closest thing to an approach which we will use in part is the singularity analysis provided by the Balian-Bloch representation of quantum mechanics using complex classical paths. That one is able to locate complex singularities, but it does not quite reach a full solution of the problem. Okay, so first, I slightly develop this part. Although it does not apply, the fact is that some ideas from the one-dimensional treatment, selected ideas of the one-dimensional treatment, not WKB, carry over to some extent, somewhat, sometimes with misleading implications, but that's what we will see. Okay, so we start from scratch now. I can't use WKB, so there's another object which is indirectly known to be sometimes a resurgent function, and that is based on the partition function. Partition function is defined in general by this well-known formula, and is only holomorphic, convergent and holomorphic for real part of tau positive. But okay, that's already something. Now, if you take the very special case of the harmonic potential, then you discover, by the basic Poisson summation formula actually, that the partition function, which is expressible in closed form, actually extends to a meromorphic function in the whole complex tau plane. Now, this is too nice. If you take a slightly more complicated case, which is the homogeneous potential but non-harmonic, then the spectrum has this asymptotic behavior, as Carl explained this morning. So it's more and more spaced as you, it has vanishing density as the quantum number k goes to infinity, and by a general theorem of the 1930s, that vanishing density implies that this function has the imaginary axis as a natural boundary. A well-known example is the Jacobi theta function, which is corresponds to the partition function for the square well, which is the n equal infinity case. And then Ek is grows like k squared. Okay, so there is a cheap remedy to that, you may think of. You don't work with the Hamiltonian, with the original Hamiltonian, but with some function of it, some deformation of the Hamiltonian, f of h hat, and you just pick the one that will rectify the spectrum. So you take you take h to the power n plus 2 over 2n, that undoes this power, and then this partition function is at least a candidate for resurgence. Now, this is indeed, this is going to work to some extent, but we can be more precise in a way. That is, the variable we take is 2 pi h bar minus 1 times the classical action. That one scales exactly as we want, but there are normalization constants in it, and 1 over h bar, and we call it x, which is completely consistent with initial definition if you set this numerator to 1. You can always fix, since the problem has a scaling, you can always fix the numerator to 1. Okay, then in one dimension, you have a complete Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition, which has the following form. There exists some formal power series in 1 over x, which, starting with x, such that the equation f of xk equals k plus 1 half, where k is an integer, fixes the eigenvalues xk, that is the eigenvalues of the deformed Hamiltonian. Okay, so two special functions, two spectral functions of xk are of interest. The partition function, which I already mentioned, and the integrated density of state or staircase counting function of the spectrum, which is the sum of Heaviside, this little theta means Heaviside, step function of f of x minus k plus a half. That's this spectral counting function for the eigenvalues. Okay, so first of all, this n of x, using the Poisson summation formula, expresses as f of x plus a sum of oscillatory terms, in which f of x is in the exponent. And if you separate in x, in f of x, the divergent part x and the rest, which you put in exponential as phi of x, then this trivially rewrites completely formally, but the result will be correct. X plus log phi over 2 pi I, and then sum of some coefficient times e to the 2 pi I rx and phi to the r. On the other hand, by taking the trivial definition of the partition function as the Stieltjes integral of e to the minus tau x, you find that, in fact, theta of tau over tau is a sort of Borel transform of n of x. So this could be our resurgent function. Okay, so indeed, when you compare the Laplace representation of n of x on to the left resummation of theta tau over tau and its decomposition over exponentials, you realize that this formula in fact encodes singularity analysis of theta of tau over tau. And this is symbolically written here. At zero, you have the discontinuity, which is the Borel transform of this part of this series here, which is also called the Weyl series or Thomas Fermi series in it's the series, it's the smooth part of the integrated density of states. And this sum of exponential is telling you that at each point 2 pi r on the imaginary axis, you have a discontinuity which is the Borel transform of the function phi to the power r. So there we have, this tells you that you have discontinuities at all the multiples of the classical action, because in this scale, 2 pi is the classical action of the period. And they are all interlocked with one another, because this one is the second convolution. I mean, this one is the basic one. This one is the second second convolution power, the third convolution power, the minus one, minus two, etc. And here you have the logarithm, the convolution logarithm. So there is a strong resurgence structure, which is already implied by the Poisson summation formula, and which explains to you a paradox in one dimension. That is, when you learn quantum mechanics, you learn that on one hand you can quantize the levels by saying that the volume of phase space less than E should be an integer times 2 pi h bar, or you quantize the eigenvalues by interference of the propagation along the periodic orbits. And you may ask, those are two completely independent ways of operation. How come that they give the same result to all orders in h bar? They do give the same result, and the fact that they give us the same result is resurgence. It's elementary form of resurgence. Now, here I've reproduced the theta function for the harmonic oscillator. It has only single poles. The difference here is that you have discontinuities, so branch cuts, so a non-trivial Riemann surface, and that's the signature of the generic nature of this problem, the fact that you get a single-valued function here is a sort of degenerate resurgence coming from the exact solvability of the harmonic oscillator by elementary means. Okay, now this picture here, this Poisson summation formula only tells you what happens on the imaginary axis, which is the real classical action line. Now, the fact is that in one dimension, thanks to the fact that these singularities are isolated, you can continue this function theta tau over tau analytically to the left, to the half plane real tau negative, and that's the really non-trivial resurgent result in 1D. And here is the example for the quartic oscillator. You get discontinuities now at complex periods of the classical action function. And the combinatorial weights can be explicitly described. The resurgent functions, which appear as discontinuity functions, are again convolution powers with twists of the function that's here, so that you can then from there recursively go to higher sheets, and you can say that the structure is completely accessible. That's the fact which I said before, the quantum resurgence information is rich enough. in 1D. So you don't have only the theta function, but a host of other functions which you can interrelate. Okay, now I come to this part. Now I'm really starting to work in n dimensions, and the first results are by Chazarin, de Stermatt, Gilman in the 70s, and that's called the Poisson relation on manifolds. Now, you take a compact Riemannian manifold, the Hamiltonian is the Laplace operator, which has a discrete spectrum, which you call, and now what these people tell you is that the partition function that's interesting to have a clean singularity decomposition is the trace of the propagator of square root of the Laplacian. Then the theorem is a theorem on the real line. T is real, which corresponds for me to my previous variable tau, purely imaginary, because here you have I. So this propagator of the wave operator, defined like this, is a distribution which is singular only at the length of periodic geodesics on the real surface. So, and this generalizes to a positive operator of order m by taking the 1 over m power. So the theorem essentially works because in the exponent you have an operator of order 1. So the homogeneity is important, and also the limitation of this result is that it concerns singularities on the real line. By the way, this statement says that it can be singular only at the length of periodic geodesics. And zero, it may not have to be, but it can only be singular there. On the other end, zero is included, and at zero, you do have a big, rather strong singularity. Now, with Cartier in 88, we looked at this particular case of compact hyperbolic surfaces, surfaces of constant negative curvature in 2D. And we assume the curvature to be minus 1, and then we actually refined for this particular case, we refined the Chazarin type analysis in two ways. First of all, we added this little additive constant to the Laplacian, and that I will say why. And then we considered the partition function of this function of the Laplacian, and we found that in fact it has a meromorphic continuation now to the whole complex tau plane, singular only at the length of periodic geodesics, but now the geodesics are real and complex. So this is the sort of complex analytic form of the Chazarin result, but for a very particular case. The fact that the function is meromorphic is a sort of a fluke. It's an exceptional feature because the hyperbolic Laplacian is sort of like the harmonic oscillator. In a sense, it's exactly solvable. On the other hand, I think this is a significant result because the dynamics represented by this problem is very, very non-integrable. It's an anosov flow. So it's ergodic, mixing, Bernoulli, what you want. Everything you want, and yet we have a whole, an endless analytical continuation result for a partition function. So here is the result compared with the harmonic oscillator in one dimension. So you see here you have the real periodic orbits which proliferate exponentially for this problem due to the topological entropy being strictly positive. That's non-integrability which comes into play. And But that doesn't prevent the function from being analytically continuable. And what you find here is a chain of double poles which correspond to the analytical continuation into imaginary time direction, where the curvature of the hyperbolic surface becomes plus one. And so if the trajectory, if a geodesic propagates in imaginary time, it lives on a sphere. And the sphere has degenerate geodesics, and that means that the singularities are stronger than the singularities of, for the non-degenerate real geodesics. Another result for 2D quantum billiards, again, here when you have a brain, so if you perturb this problem, you expect to have similar things, but with branch cuts here. And again, the branch cut at zero is the Borel transform of the Weyl series. Now, Barry Howells in 1994 studied the high orders of the Weyl series for 2D billiards, which are also homogeneous problems. And they found manifestations of real and complex periodic orbits as well. So that we begin to have some circumstantial evidence that there is a possibility of resurgence in higher dimension. Okay, now Balian-Bloch introduced in 74 a representation of quantum mechanics where they in fact did the Borel transform on the Green's function itself in this form here. So this is the Borel transform of the Green function, and they found, they expressed the Schrödinger equation as an integral equation for this Borel transform itself. And if you analyze the singularities of such integral equations, you find that for that, S is their Borel variable. It's again I tau for me. So the S-plane singularities are located at the actions of real and complex trajectories that go from Q to Q prime at energy E. And then if you integrate over the on the diagonal of the Green's function to get the spectral integrated spectral density, you find that the imtrace of this Borel transform should be singular at the actions of real and complex classical trajectories that are periodic. So, but the problem with this is that just by transforming the Schrödinger equation to an integral equation, you don't analytically solve it. So this is qualitatively absolutely essential, but it doesn't give you a machine to compute the Riemann surface. Okay, now the final proposal that I make is then to, after everything else fails, is to use the Gutz-Villetrace formula, which is a real periodic orbit expansion for the integrated density of states in n dimensions. And that spectral density of states writes as a asymptotic series with no exponential, which is called the Thomas Fermi or Weyl series, if you like, begins in h minus n. And then there is a similar sum of asymptotic expansions times exponential of classical actions over real periodic orbits only. That's Gutzwiller's result. The problem is that all the summations diverge. And so this formula is fraught with pathologies. It's very nice, very inspiring, but of course the series are asymptotic, but the summation over periodic orbits also diverge very, very badly because of the exponential proliferation. And there is here my proposal for a resurgent remedy. This resurgent remedy, although at the moment it's conjectural, it's completely formal, it cures the pathologies of the formula completely. And inversely, the cured formula suggests a resurgent structure in the problem. So it's a win-win sort of situation. Now, the idea is simply to take the Balian-Bloch transform, that is the Laplace transform with respect to 1 over h, of this integrated density of states. And that immediately introduces the Heaviside function of a strange sort of spectrum, where what you do is that you consider the 1 over h spectrum at fixed E. And so that's more complicated than just taking some particular function of the Hamiltonian. This follows a suggestion of Berry-Tabor, which they did not actually use in 1977. So this is a new spectral function. And of course, the partition function is sum of e to the minus tau xk at fixed e. So you work at fixed e, and for each new, so it's a parametric problem. For each time you change the value of the classical energy, you have a new problem to consider. That's the added complication with respect to the homogeneous problems before. So the conjecture is that this could be a resurgent function. And by the analysis is exactly identical to what I showed before. And because of this exponential expansion, provided the actions form a discrete set, this function, theta e of tau, might continue analytically in tau with singularities at the real and at the actions of I times, the actions of real and complex classical periodic orbits of energy e. Now, the problem is to prove this under suitable mathematical assumptions. It's not an easy problem. For instance, it is known that certain non-integrable classical dynamics have natural boundaries in the complex continuation of trajectories. So, but nevertheless, one might hope to find resurgence equations. And indeed, if this is to be useful, one cannot satisfy oneself with just this single function. One has to discover the proper resurgence equations, the global topology of a Riemann surface, and the richer resurgence algebras, because the function will certainly not be single valued. Thank you. Oh, I have two physical confirmations. The H atom in a uniform magnetic field, this was done by Wingen in 1987, where he did this Fourier transform with respect to 1/h-bar of the spectrum, and you do get peaks at the classical periodic orbits, real ones. And in the quantum kicktops, these authors found they could work near a bifurcation. Here you have two real periodic orbits. This is where they merge, and here you have a complex periodic orbit which also manifests itself in the 1/h-bar Fourier transform. So this adds to the circumstantial evidence that there is something to dig for. Thank you.
Thanks, Andre. Okay, we have some time for a few questions.
You mentioned in the beginning that the multidimensional quantum mechanics has a fundamental difficulty. Does it apply when we have a separable potential?
No, I think morally separable potential should be treatable, but I'm not aware of anybody having done a concrete case.
In the case of this hyperbolic joint, hyperbolic Laplacian you showed, so you mentioned the system is mixing and seems fairly chaotic. Is the level statistics Wigner-Dyson?
Pardon?
Does the level statistics of eigenvalues, is that Wigner-Dyson?
Oh, so, yeah, I think so. Yes, yes.
Just to make sure.
Yes. Well, except if perhaps if the surface is arithmetic, No, the spectrum cannot be computed analytically, but yes.
So, can you elaborate on what you mean by 1/h-bar spectroscopy?
Pardon?
Can you elaborate what you mean on 1/h-bar spectroscopy? You were saying taking the Fourier transform with respect to 1/h-bar, but I don't know how to measure things at different values of h-bar.
Yes, and. Okay. Well, it's very simple. In standard physics, of course, h bar is fixed, and so you have h bar is 1/h-bar is what it is, and then this is the spectral function. This is the spectrum. But what you have to do, in fact, is treat this as a parameter, then you get some curves like that. And the 1 over H bar spectroscopy consists in fixing E and cutting it this way. And then you work with this spectrum and you do the Fourier transformation. So you have you define the spectral staircase. This is X here. The spectral staircase is a function that jumps every time you cross an eigenvalue here. So this is a function now of X. You Fourier transform it with respect to X, and then that's the resurgence. That's the Borel transform that you want to look at. An important remark. This is absolutely not the transformation which makes the spectrum uniform asymptotic density, except in 1D. In 1D, the two notions coincide, so that everything that I recalled with 1D falls in the scope of this resurgence theta function. But in higher dimensions, the spectrum, generalized spectrum is not uniform.
And this function in one dimension, this is known to have resurgence.
Well, in one dimension, you essentially fall back on the theta function I showed before, with that there, because of the Bohr-Sommerfeld quantization condition. So yes, indeed, it's a particular case. But the problem was to find one generalization which might work. And so I really propose this as a research problem for brave people, because it may need time. It's not simple.
So just a general question. My feeling as an outsider when I read about this with Fibber trace formula is that in a sense it was never shown to really work because of this divergence that you were mentioning, right? So is this the kind of outcome of that field of research, that eventually these, you know, people don't really know how to make it work?
And well, this will make it work.
But apart from your proposal, essentially what people were doing was not really very convincing because of these problems, right? So
no, there are rigorous statements of the Gutzwiller trace formula, but then what you have to do is you have to cut off the time, you have to introduce test functions. I mean, you have to use extraneous ingredients. This is an intrinsic form of trace formula which needs no extra arbitrary quantities and which might be clean.
I see. Okay.
If proved.
Any other questions? Okay. If not, let's thank Andre again. Now there's a coffee break. We return here at 4 o'clock.